This is a session with Chad, recorded on May 14th, copyright 2000. Oh, it's Walter Borg's birthday. Big Borg stuff came out. Tell you about it later, Chad. Okay, we'll start it over. This is a session with Chad, recorded on May 14th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved. And we're starting at 10:48 a.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good afternoon.
Hey there, Ion.
Hey.
Hey. Okay. So when my B is above my A, does that mean that I do B divided by A rather than A divided by B?
Yep.
Okay.
And that's the case because you've inverted your B1A1 to an A1B1.
Right. Okay. So, what if I have intersections for the A sine and cos and no intersections for B?
Then you have nothing to multiply. Wait a minute. Describe a sine cosine that would have no intersection points.
Okay, specifically.
You mean inside the triangle?
Exactly. If I have intersections.
Well, then there's nothing to multiply times itself. And so it's 0 divided by the number of intersections, which, of course, you know, that divided by 0 is?
0.
Okay, so there you go.
Okay, so if I have 0 for A divided by B, and I have my new X, which is the crossings of the negative sine and negative cosine, does that mean I should just not bother setting a new x-axis?
You certainly should set a new x-axis.
Okay. So if my value...
Otherwise, you'll have a value for your A. How would you plot your new A2 if you don't have the new x-axis?
But if A divided by B equals 0, then...
Wait a minute. When would A divided by 0... If you've got a value of A and you divide it by 0, what's that answer?
Divided by 0 is 0.
Wait a second. If you have a number and you divide it by 0, it's 0 times it's divisible by, or the number of it is divisible times?
Well, in computers, they just can't divide by 0, so that's what I'm familiar with. It just craps out.
Well, then go with that. But then you're going to find that something's not traded for your A2. It doesn't seem very logical, does it?
No. Okay, so what do I do then if I have a number divided by 0?
Well, now, hold on. You're now, if your answer of A over B equals 0, and then you divide that by your rate, your Maybank rate, something divided into it, is that also 0?
So 0 divided by, say, 0.03 would be... 0.
Well, you're screwed.
Okay, well, what is it then when you divide something, or when you have a 0 divided by something?
Well, your zero value seems to be the issue.
Oh, so are you saying there's no such thing as a 0?
It would be, no, we're not saying that, because it is possible there are days that things will no longer be traded, and so therefore its A2 value would be 0. But we're just saying that should be more rare than commonplace.
Okay, but when I was running my calculations this week, I was getting several sets that were ending up with no A or B intersections within the triangle, which would give me 0 divided by 0.
Okay.
And then divided by Maybank rate, which we say is 3%, so 0.03, which my calculator spits out as 0. So does that mean that it just won't trade?
Well, we think your calculations you need to look at the rules and not go by what the computer says is, and look at your rules. Because if you have 0.00000, then you've got to have some integer to work with. So if you're just adding zero, then you need to establish a value at some degree or level, because there will be. Your computer is treating zero as a finite place, and it is not.
Right.
That's the issue. So play with that a little bit, and then it may clean that up a bit for you. Because if you're showing that they're not going to be trading oil next Tuesday, it's going to be zero. What you may find and discern is that the change is zero. That it would be constant.
Okay,
but
if I have,
until you get over your integer issue, we're not saying, we're saying you play with it to get it to suit you, and if it, every time it's coming up as zero means that there's zero change in A to A2, you might work with that. But until you solve the integer issue, sounds like computation troubles to us.
Okay. But that's even before the point of computation, because that's like, I look at the intersections of A, and there's none within the triangle, so that gives me zero. And then there's no intersections for the B within the triangle, that gives me zero.
Okay.
So I have zero divided by zero, divided by the value of a May bank, which would be 0.03, and you're saying that I should use the 0.03 and not zero?
No, we're saying you sometimes would then... If it's a negative number, then you divide the equivalent of your A over B, or as you were saying, B over A, it would be divided by that number. And you're saying if you divide 0 in 2.03, you still get 0.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying, now wait a second. If it's divided by 0, then it's that answer. It's 0.03.
Right. Okay. I get you.
But now, that's why we don't get into the graphing issue, because you can get another calculator that'll do something very different.
Okay, so you're pointing it back to my calculations then, because another calculator...
Well, no, we're just saying if it's valid and if there's no change, let's say you play that formula where that occurs in a past tense state, and you do it for 7 days, and there's zero change in the price, maybe that's your tell. But if there is a vast change, then that would point you a different direction. So we're saying you play with it, and then you'll go, oh. And if you'll see what the issue is, then you can show your work or prove your work backwards. Because that's what we want to do, is because you're going to have everything under the sun as far as potential ABC values and or things that you triangulate. So as you get more and more comfortable with the process of triangulation, it'll be simple for you. So that's why these pinpointed cleanup points are key, because then you can attach values and integers and help you in your choosing of points based on your program that you're working with. For example, you have your formula, and you find this anomaly that takes place or occurs, then you can choose any 3 points, can you not? So if you consistently get a zero something, then choose another 3 pairs with A1 being the same as it was, because it should work either way. You can play with it. It's not a long process now, because you're just plugging it into your system. You'll see exactly where you are, and then you can see the shifted difference between one pair over another pair. And as you get better and better in that process, we soon want you, number one, to get you where you do this in your head. It'll get that easy after a bit. So you'll be able to, like, remember we said about on Fringe with the event with Hal Holbrook, where he says, looks like we're going to meet very soon, and lays the little domino thing down. So that's almost him calculating that point of triangulation. And once you get a feel for this, because the you got the picture, And that's the keyest part of this right this second, is the actual what you are calculating.
Okay.
See, it does you no good, it does you no practical good to learn how to say 12 divided by 12 equals 1 if you don't know the perfunctory task of dividing 12 into 12 to validate 1. But once you're able to do that, if it said 2, you'd know something is afoot, would you not? But if you're just going by what the calculator says, then you got nothing to juxtapose your choice against, is what we're saying. So that's easily solved by playing with the play. And when you've bumped into something like with A or B at 0 or both at 0, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
you'd actually look at your frequency of your sine cosine wave if that is repetitively occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Because more, as you're justifying that right triangle, it's rare that your frequency would put a sine cosine consistently outside of the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you're going to have more than that. But now, granted, Chad, you know you can get a queer set of three coordinates, and you can make it so you can hardly recognize it as a triangle. We get that. But the more defined you get in your process, the easier it'll be to adjust accordingly. Because, all right, take the value of the A and B that you got as 0. Describe those pairs.
Okay. Take this one here. 1, 2, 3. So those pairs would be... The first pair would be 1.37. Do you want the values or the angles?
The values.
Okay. So the first pair would be 1.37088. The next B would be 0.88758.
Okay.
C would be 2.02226.
Okay. And you justified your angles, and you got the angle for A as...
The angle for A is 55.867 degrees.
Okay. And your sine cosine for that intersecting points were?
The sine cosine is plotted. So do you want the radians for that?
Mm-hmm.
0.975.
Well, no. Degrees or radians?
Radians.
Why wouldn't you do it in degree?
How can I express the sine to you verbally?
Well, the sine starts at 0 and the cosine starts at -1.
Right.
Well, you have the radians, so you can calculate the degree. Basically, draw the, you know, the slinky? You know a slinky when you stretch it out or push it together?
Yep.
That's basically what you're representing, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, if you're doing it in radians, that means the center line, that top of the box, the dotted line, that you're gauging the how close or far apart the ups and downs are, and the height of the peak in the trough is, would be gauged on your period or your frequency. Would it not?
You're saying the height from the center point?
No,
of the wave?
The height across the top. The period would give you how often the dots are across the top.
Yes.
And then on the lower side would be the dots along the bottom. And then your cosine would begin, and those would be plotted. Then when you draw the actual spirals on a flat geographic plane, those intersecting points are the only part that you're concerned with. But you get the picture of this. Now, that's still in radians, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a possibility to convert that to degrees?
I have both. Yeah, I have the radians, and then I convert it into degrees.
Good. Okay. So if you can get it in degrees, you're still finding it at 0?
You mean 0 intersections within the triangle?
Correct.
Y- yes, for that set of pairs.
So is it the frequency that's got it outside, or the peak and the trough is missing your triangle?
The peak and the trough are missing the triangle.
How far away are they?
For A, they're quite a bit off.
Well, quite a bit, okay.
Yeah.
Describe quite a bit. Is it 4? Is it pi 4 over from your A point?
Hold on. Let's see. Pi 4 over. Well, I don't have the grid measured in pi radians. So
May you?
I could. But then where does that...
That may clean up your period, which would include the first intersection point inside the triangle.
Okay.
Try that, because it's not odd to have 1 at 0. That's not the most odd thing, okay? But if you're having both at 0, that's very odd.
Okay, so you're saying that the scale of my grid, instead of putting in the 4x values, put it in radians?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, wait. No, we're saying doing the scale of the angles, do it in degrees. And it will work either way. But if you're running into the problem of it doesn't work, I get 0 over 0 equals 0 over 0, then there's an issue, meaning something's askew, because it shouldn't all be 0. Because then you could come back and have your minus sine cosine of C is 0. Well, after a little while, it's like, what? Wait, we're nothing from nothing is nothing, so nothing is nothing. We would look very closely at your pairs. There's some computation that you're doing that's a bit off. It's the fine line points. Because if you're having this happen consistently, there's no place for you to check your work.
Yeah.
If it's all 0. So then when you get to that place, it's kind of like, now, wait a minute, what? How can it 0 and 0 and 0 and 0? It's kind of like, then we've got to redefine the value of 0 and make 0 be of a value that is an integer, not as an – you got to treat 0 as a minus, all right, if that be the case. And your computer, as you say, doesn't do that or will.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is the case, see, the computer sees 0 as nothing, as a placeholder. We don't, nor does vibration.
Okay.
Because a 0 vibration still is a vibration. It can have a peak and a trough.
Mm-hmm.
If you justify a right triangle in your A value, how would you pull a sine cosine of a 0 angle?
I'm not sure.
Well, exactly. So if you tried that and you found that there was indeed a frequency for 0 angle,
mm-hmm.
then you'd see the distance between the 0 that you're arriving at, and the 0 that can have a sine cosine.
Okay.
That's the thing. Because, see, when you start at your minus 1, you've shifted. The point of the cosine is you begin your wave at minus 1. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So therefore, the only way that you would consistently not hit with inside the triangle is if your period was incredibly large and
mm-hmm.
your triangle was incredibly small or narrowed. You see what we mean?
Or my amplitude was very large.
Or off.
Yeah. Right now my amplitude is based on the value, the 4x value of A, the 4x value of B, 4x value of C.
Look at that closer.
Yeah, okay.
That may be your tail. Because in essence, here's what you're actually doing. This is you're asking the question, but we're getting you to the place, this is great. because what's happening is now you're seeing the shift. It's a gentle shift, but the tiniest little bit off can throw you out of your realm, because look at your choosing of your numbers. See, you worked out, when you worked out the pound of having a huge drop, and you go, no, 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 that can't be, it's not possible, and you got up the next day and it was.
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers, that's what piqued you, because you're kind of like, holy crap. I knew this specifically before it was. And it was outside of what you could know it to be, and yet it still applied. So from that place, you're getting close. So you continue that process and ease that into an even larger place of aha, you know, instead of less confounding and more aha positions, you see, as you play with it. But you'll look closely, because it's any part that's off a bit will make it very off otherwise. And then you'll find a consistency within that. So if the issue could very easily be your amplitude, the issue could very easily be how you're justifying from shifting from radians and degrees. Your issue could be from your the period of how you're gauging, because you could change your graph. Let's say if you change the perspective of your ratios of your graph, you may find that it indeed does intersect within the triangle. Because of the way you can readjust as long as you do it to every portion. And you're saying, Ion, if I change my perspective, it won't change the outcome. And we say, oh, that's the point.
Okay, how would I change my perspective, though? You mean just make the triangle bigger or something?
Yeah, well, yeah. Make instead of making it 1.0388, make it 13.0388. So then you have 13 marks up.
Right, because right now the way I have it is, my, for example, my A sine and cosine are twice, they end up being twice as high as where the A point is on the top of the triangle.
Say that again.
Okay, so right now my A sine and cosine, their very peaks are double the height of where A is plotted.
And you're in degrees. No, you're in radians.
Yeah, it goes into my graphing program in radians.
Well, then try, before you get too, don't throw out the baby. Just look a little closer and run that in degrees, and that may be a workable solution.
Okay, but to get into that graphing function, if I put degrees into it, it expects radians. So I'd have to convert it using the pi.
Yes.
Over 2.
Well, then you could know exactly how far you are off, because that's what we ask you, and you didn't know. And that was our point, is if you knew how far you were off, you knew where to look to find your solution. And since you did not, then you were lost without you. Well, how we say that is that you were a bit perplexed as to what to do now, which is a good question, and you're right on target. I mean, you're right on point. All you got to do is just play with it and look at the ratios, and it makes it simple if you choose something and say a month ago and do it from a span, so you can do it and check your work immediately.
Okay, so that's just as valid to check something from the past?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you know. Damn, you shouldn't have to wait.
Okay.
Is. Because it's as valid as then later pulling a B4A4 tangent to rewrite history that they are doing always.
Mm-hmm.
See, so yeah, that's no problem. That way you can practice your perfect your science.
Oh,
okay, remember what we said. If you have the equal number of peaks and troughs in the minus sine cosine of C inside the triangle, we said divide the space between those peaks and troughs, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have none, then it would also be valid to divide the space between the two. Or what you'd say is, well, Ion, if I do it from C and I've justified my triangle, it means that my x-axis would stay the same.
Right.
Okay? So in, when that's the case, use that. And then if it's a plus 2, then your plus 2 would be from your original x-axis. But it really is your new x-axis because even though it's on the same line, it's like your, remember your angle for C and C2 is the same angle, but it's for two different triangles. Because what you may find is that you may change once you pull a B4, A4. Tangent.
Okay.
Because, see, your perspective is getting larger.
Okay. So when my negative sine and negative cosine have more intersections in the triangle, in the peaks, then I use the peaks as the new x?
Yes.
And then if it were most
trough.
Of them in the troughs,
use
I'd
the
use
trough.
The trough. Okay.
Right. And there's nothing to say, and there's nothing to say that that could be, you could get your A over in your A in your A over B divided by Maybank could be a great big huge number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very possible. But then when you do your minus sine minus cosine of C, it may be a very low, may move X way down to back. So when you plot A2, it may put you right on target for where you'd be.
Okay.
So don't be, that's not an issue as long as it's applying. Because there's not a ton of rules here. It's very basic, as you know.
Okay.
In this place, just work it as you know it. And then if you have to adjust, then tweak and adjust based on, well, I know the value went up 26 cents. And my answer is $1.26. Then you know exactly how far you're off.
Okay. So would I be able to pull down my y-axis so that instead of x0 and y0 meeting at that intersection, if I pulled, could I pull down my y-axis so that the bottom number of my y-axis would be like 1?
Do you have a purpose for that?
Well, just for that scenario where we don't have any intersections and get those zero values.
We'd say just from your asking, no.
Okay.
Not to say that you couldn't make it work. Okay, not to say that you couldn't make it work, but once you perfect your science, then you can get fancy.
Okay.
But until you do, you're just going to create another set of variables that could potentially put you off. Now, if you're dealing with past tense issues, makes no difference. You're just adjusting to perfect your science. Okay. But if you're putting up $100,000 on an order, you don't want to leave that to chance, do you?
No.
Good. So stay with what you know and then adjust. And then as you kind of go from there, then, you know, like you brought up about the zero A and B issue. And if
okay.
you look closely, you'll find that that's just it's a perspective issue more than it is an anomaly.
Okay. So what does it mean when there are intersections between all three sets of waves inside the triangle?
That means that you've pinged each tower, and it's much easier for you to accurately triangulate the position.
Okay.
Now say it. Now Bob would say, what in the hell are you talking about? But this ain't his thing. But let's clean that up just a little bit. You
mm-hmm.
have troughs of A, peaks of B, and equal numbers are mini and minus cosine of C, correct?
Right.
Okay. That just means that your tower, like in your cell world, if you have mini hits from tower to tower, it just means that you have accurately calculated from each tower your position. Well, your position is what you're trying to calculate a future tangent to. So the more intersections that you have, the more multiplication that you're doing and dividing, the better it's going to serve you, because that means you have more integers that are inclusive in the hit-to-hit for exactly what that position is.
Okay.
For example, here's an example. If you're in, say, New York City, and you do a GPS address to the local Kentucky Fried Chicken, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go pretty fast. But you get in the middle of Wyoming or the Grand Tetons where there's not much signal, it'll still triangulate where a restaurant is or where a destination lies, but you'll notice it won't occur as fast.
Yeah.
That's the difference. The more points you have inside, the closer you are to perfection.
So it's like having more, being in an area with more cell towers to ping.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Doesn't mean it won't triangulate you. It just has to pull it out larger so that those peaks and troughs hit.
Okay.
And so what's happening is, like, your quadrants that are, well, we're not going to say it's what you chose because we think there's something bit off in your you call it amplitude, we call it period, of how you're plotting your waves. So I think if you look a little closer there, you'll see that it'll shift itself a bit.
Okay. All right. Do I have to use the Maybank CD value if I'm doing an intraday trade?
Nope,
okay.
You do not. The only reason you use Maybank is it was the easiest one that allowed you to have a future-based rate.
For
so
intraday.
Fine. It doesn't matter. Extra day, if you want to call it that. Intraday,
okay.
Makes no difference. You just got to use a value, baby, that's a day ahead of you.
Okay. But, okay, if I'm doing a trade that's within a day. Like
makes
I'm,
no difference.
Okay. So either
well,
way.
I can't. If it's, then you want to know the CD rate. What's the yield on a one-day CD?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's intraday, then you do an intraday. If I need it, I have $100 million Maybank. I want to park it at your bank for 1 hour. How much interest do I make?
Okay.
And it won't be a bunch, but it'll be a yield.
All right. I guess I'll have to call them to get that number.
Well, but now once you get – now, see, now here we go. Because – now, we can't say this to anybody else, and we haven't.
Okay.
But to you, you're bright enough, witty enough – that you could almost calculate that, protract it into a larger position, and then divide it. For example, if the 30-day yield is blah, you could almost divide that into a one-day rate. You could. But you know there's more. It's the same way as if you give a 10% discount on an item.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you raise the price 10%, and then take 10% off, it's not the same as your original value. So if you're doing that with interest as well, you've got to be very careful with that, with how you calculate it, you see?
Yeah. Okay.
So just so you know, so because of your ability and capacity, you could calculate that, you see?
Okay. So that adjuster, that Maybank value that we use for Forex, if I'm doing something else like calculating temperature, is there another adjuster that I would use in that particular scenario?
Well, you would just find a constant from the day ahead place.
Okay.
So let's say you were doing barometric pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would find a NOAA site that would give the barometric pressure of a place that's a day ahead.
All right.
Same way. Whatever that is, you just so you, because see, that's where you've screwed time.
Mm-hmm. By taking something that's already
a
happened.
Day ahead.
Yeah.
Everything that happens there is past tense.
Right. Okay. But I don't get it. If like, the future value, well, the Maybank value, because they're already a day ahead, and I'm dividing by that, so I'm dividing by 0.03, let's say, that the scale of that divisor of the Maybank value seems really arbitrary. Is that the point?
It is. It is arbitrary. So is time.
Okay.
See,
yeah.
That's why it's actually perfect. When you really, really look at it, because it's kind of like, holy shit, this is ridiculous. Well, so is time.
Yeah.
Because all you're doing is you're tracking vibration, which isn't nebulous. Sorry, which isn't nebulous, and applying it, taking a trigonometry and applying it into plane geometry. It's ridiculous.
Right. So
and
if I'm doing
mix, go ahead.
Okay, if I'm going to be doing something like stocks that are only traded Monday through Friday.
Yes.
It seems like my days would be calculated differently because they have like 5 days on, 2 days off. Does that matter?
But they don't have days off. Program trades are affecting your outcomes. If 4 o'clock on Friday, General Motors announces that they're going out of business, guess what? The fucking orders are going to pile in the computer program trades of we can't even say it. We don't know why you'd want to do it. But algorithmic computer trades are what affected the big drop in oil the other day, didn't it?
Okay, so when I'm triangulating and it's telling me, like, a value for Saturday, it's telling me it's reflecting computerized program trading.
Yes.
Okay.
And because they'll say a stock drops $3 in after-hour trading. Well, how the fuck did it drop in after-hour trading if it wasn't trading?
Yeah.
Right?
True. Yeah.
Well, so therefore it runs day and night based on those orders. Because calls, you could have a short execute on a Saturday, could you not?
Yes.
Well, then there's your answer.
Okay.
Because right. If it hits that price at any time, the computer's going to issue a buy order.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to settle till the end of business on Monday, but it still, it is.
Right. Okay, fine. So now moving forward to the next tangent, the one, the little triangle. Is that called A3B3 or A2B2?
It would be...
the one after the B1A1, to the right.
It would be A2... It would be, well, it'd be B2, A2. No. B1, A1, A, and then you flip it, it would be A2, B2.
Okay.
But when you go backwards, it's always B4, A4.
Right. Is there an A, is there like a 3 tangent?
There can be no limit.
Oh, okay.
You just got, right. And it doesn't matter for you. Now, see, if we were doing this for a textbook, we would have to be much more explicit. But for you, just because you'll play with it, meaning once you do one, pick a pair, 3 pairs, you could stretch it out in such a way that you could track it and track it and track it and track it.
Yeah.
Okay, because you can do that. So you may have actually 50 tangents. In one triangulation.
Yep.
And so, therefore, there is no limitation, but you must accurately label it so you know what in the hell you're doing.
Yep. So when I'm working with that A2B2 tangent, and I'm working with my A2 value that I calculated, and that's above where the A2 was in the little triangle, then do I draw a line from
you just plot it. No, you just plot it. You plot
just
it.
Just plot it. Okay.
And if you did that, because see, and we know where you're going with this, okay, because billions could be wrought. If you could take a one-day trade and you knew intra-second what it was going up or down.
Yeah.
Do you see? You could buy and sell and do 100 trades in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be so minuscule that no one would notice, and then at the end of the day, you'd realize that you made $12 million.
Yeah, salami techniques.
Well, but now, before you jump down that rabbit hole, you need to have time with us, because we need to give you some pointers on how specifically to stage yourself so that you don't end up like Humpty Dumpty.
Okay.
You know what was? You know why Humpty Dumpty fell, don't you?
Why?
He was so high. That's why all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. It's because he was so high when he fell.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to spread it out, and we'll show you exactly how to spread it out so you become an allegory.
Okay, an allegory.
An allegory. You want to be an allegory in this particular position. Because, see, if that's spread out over vastness, it'd just be potluck. That's what they say about the oil thing.
Yeah.
And some folks cleaned up on that, don't you expect?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, it dropped what, 13? Well, it was at 120, and it dropped below 100 in a matter of a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then went back up.
And then went back up. Yeah, that's why I want to talk about this A2B2 tangent.
Mm-hmm.
So if I plot that new
But that order alone, here's why you're doing this in multi-tangents. Because within that multi-tangents alone, your price position affects the next tangent. Because now your frequency is going to be included in that new tangent. That's why you don't want to just say it was here and now it's here. Because your bump is going to affect the next bump.
You mean if I'm actively trading rather than just sitting back watching?
Right. Well, if you place an order, you're rolling along and you know that corn is going to go up $10 a bushel, which that'd be pretty strong, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you place the order to buy at that level, you're going to force it as a vacuum. You're going to drive that price yourself.
Yeah.
So you would draw a tangent in between to see what your short would be to cover the distance between you and the $10 when you place your position. But now that's graduate work, number one. Hear us. That's graduate work, baby.
Okay.
That's you can get you piled higher and deeper there. Because your order alone will affect the vibration of it, will it not?
Yeah.
And if you knew to put in short orders to short your position, you would move the market by placing, I'd like to place an order for every ounce of gold in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to affect the vibration, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the price is going to go up. Now, that's all right as long as you had a short in place to cover that play.
Yep.
You'd make it going and coming, would you not?
Yep. Yeah, we'll have to talk about the leverage.
Yeah, that's graduate. When you get the first part down, see, there's no end to the fun that may be wrought. But you just got to get real comfortable with, see, if you could do it on a spot, now spots are harder, really, for everybody else. They say that's where you separate the boys from the men, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you start playing on hard spots. Because that's an active buying and an active selling of a spot market, correct?
Correct.
Well, with what you know now, spots become the easiest to play with.
Yeah, exactly.
And those margins thereof.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, see,
all right.
Fuck,
let's,
run
let's
30 stay, pips.
Yeah,
run 30 pips on a margin and see what happens.
Fine, let's stay technical on this point. So I plot my new A2 value on the B1A1 tangent. You're saying I do not draw a line from C to that new A2 value to create a new angle?
No.
Okay, so that's just plotted there. So now I go back to working with the triangle, the original triangle, as it crosses through B1A1.
Mm-hmm.
And then I run sine and cos off A, sine and cos mm-hmm. off B, and I already have the one for C. Okay.
Well, that's right, and because that angle is the same. C and C1 are the same angle, are they not?
Yes.
So you would not change that. The only time you'd change it is if you're finishing a trade, pulling a new point with the others, like your B4A4 tangent.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you'd really look at it, because that's when you're going to really broaden your potential horizon shift. So, everything going forward, keep C constant.
Okay, and then
until you change the angle of C, Because remember, you got to write, you got to justify each of these triangles.
What do you mean justify in this case?
Well, how are you going to get the cosine and sine of A if you don't justify it to a right triangle?
Oh, that, yeah, okay.
Yeah, see, so as long as that doesn't affect C, then you're groovy.
Exactly, okay.
Yeah, good. So you were right. You were just checking.
Yeah. So when I'm working with my A2B2 tangent and I'm working with the smaller triangle, it looks like the A value and the A angle and the B angle are the same as well. Is that correct?
No, not necessarily.
What would change them?
Well, if the angle doesn't change, it would not. But once you move once you move X, then that changes that position, does it not? When you do the minus sine cosine of C and it moves X up plus 1 on the Y axis, now all of a sudden you're having a different conversation. Those angles would be different based on your new X and Y, would it not?
It depends where X gets plotted.
Exactly. So
yeah.
If X is where the old X was, then you're right. No change.
Yeah.
But if X goes down 2, you got to justify from your new XY axis, and so therefore it could have an effect. So just keep to your science, keep to your knowing, and then adjust. And if it works perfect, stay with that. If it doesn't, look at that and see where it's off and how much exactly it's off. Then you can show your work. Remember the teacher would say, Chad, now show your work. They didn't care about your work. They just wanted to make sure you weren't just getting it off somebody else's paper. If you know your work, you can adjust, you see. That's what we're saying here. This is your formula.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we love how you're playing with other human creators and giving them little bitty tinches here and there, but never the whole thing. We say that's wonderful. We say keep your ideas to yourself until they're fully developed.
Yeah.
That's wise.
Mm-hmm.
Will serve you well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I'm, like, for example, if I moved up 1 with my new x-axis, then it appears that it would actually move where my C position is.
It could.
Yeah.
Well, your C would then be a negative value, wouldn't it?
Ooh, I don't see that. It's above the x-axis.
Well,
why would it be negative?
See, if you do the minus sine cosine of C,
mm-hmm.
and you complete and you realize that your new x-axis is now plus 1, when you look at your angle from your new xy, that's going to make C a negative value because it's going to be below.
Oh, I see. Okay. Because
yeah.
I use the original negative sine
yes.
and negative cosine for
yes.
the C.
And you
yeah.
just, and the only reason that matters is because you still have to justify the right angle for your sine cosine position. See? So you got it.
Okay, so if I move the x-axis, it goes up 1, then it looks like the point from A2 across to C2, that kind of remains the same angle. It looks like A's angle would stay the same, but then B's angle would change.
That's very logical. That's very logical. And you're very good at this already. Just make sure if you adjust something to 1, you do it to everything. And as long as you are very consistent with that, then that's fine. So much so that it's odd that you're having issue with the radians. It should work, but if it's not working, we'd say go to degrees, and that'll help you until you calculate exactly where your frequency is adjusted or your period, because that's what the foot. But see, as long as you're doing it consistently the same, it should work the same, but you're saying it doesn't. So we say, okay, look at the specific process that you're working to see where you're off.
Okay.
Right. But so all day long, if in doubt, draw it out. If you're
on
in
paper?
Doubt, yes, damn it, draw it out. Because if you can work, make it work in the view of your mind's eye, then you can make that damn computer do what you want it to do. But if you're just gauging on what the computer's aspect of its calculation, just like any good code, that's trying to make a perfect program. There's no perfect program until it's obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So, yeah, I will definitely go and look at the period.
If it's not working,
yeah,
then draw it out. If it is working, leave it the fuck alone. You're fine.
Okay.
You see.
Okay, so to do the B4 in the B5 tangents.
Whoa!
What?
B4, A4, okay.
And A5, B5.
Okay, you can't do an A5, B5 until you have pulled an B4, A4.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, no. See, if we'd have just said right, you could have just jumped to the 5 and then pull that forward. That changes everything. The distance between the B4, A4 to A5, B5 could be a millennia. You got to be very careful to make sure that you're exactly when you're getting larger, when you're going the opposite direction as far as history goes. You have to be very precise to make sure that the B4, A4 is set before. Yeah, you can't get A5 before B4. B4, good. So that's a deal breaker, because what's going to happen is you're going to start reattributing your x-axis detrimentally. But it'll work as long as B4, A4 is in place. Because now you're going to be going reverse.
Okay, so I'm going to go from my main AB tangent, and I go, let's say I go back 2 days, and I put my B4, A4 tangent 2 days mm-hmm. back. And then
and then
for my A5, B5, I would be moving back towards my original AB tangent.
More times than not, yes. Do it that way. Do it that way. Now, when you get fancy, you'll be able to protract and go way back from the beginning, okay? And your computer program could do that for you, but don't get lost in the translation. So the answer is, when you get fancy with it, yes, that's exactly correct. But just be very soft and easy about it as you're processing, because your room for error, remember the triangle is getting larger the further you go back.
Yeah, but what does that represent, the triangle getting larger?
The proximity of exactly points that can be included in your sine, cosine, minus cosine of your values. The larger the triangulated area becomes, the more points, the more accurate that your exact pinpoints are going to be.
Yeah.
More pings equals more preciseness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see? And then when you start going back, you can get it huge. Okay? So you got to be very exact, because your angles are going to get crazy when you start taking that same vibration and applying it into a much larger spectrum of geography.
Okay. So let's work with the B4, A4 tangent. So I go, I pull a tangent there. And then I've got a triangle to work with. It's just a much larger triangle, correct?
Do.
And then I'm doing the same process as the original one, where I'm doing the sine and cosine of A, same for B, negative sine cosine of C.
Those angles necessarily wouldn't change, would they?
Not necessarily, no.
Not necessarily. Good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Because they could have changed if your X has changed. The new X on your B1, A1, if it moved X, then it will affect A4, B4, A4.
Well, okay, so that would also be the X for B4, A4?
That's correct, because you can't pull that until you pull the first. See? That's the point.
Okay.
See, now you see how it can get very dicey with an A5, B5.
Yeah, because with every new tangent, it adds, it opens
you're
up.
You're looking at it from a different horizon.
Yeah, so if
or
you're off
X.
by a little bit in the beginning, it just
you're going to be
increases.
fucked the time you go to the B4, A4.
Yeah.
Because your position is larger. So if you're off, it's like being off a degree in your travels. If you go an inch, you're still pretty close, but if you go 1,000 miles, you're in a different country.
Yeah.
Same way. Same. That's the significance of the plane geometry within the confines of those attributed angles.
Right. But are you saying that to change my present, my AB, I have to go B4, A4, and then A5, B5? Or can
yes.
I just change the present
no.
from B? No?
No, you can't just change. You've got to work it. You can't pull an A5, B5 until you have secured a B4, A4. It is impossible.
Okay.
Because what you. Because. Oh, well, okay.
Because. Go ahead.
Because to do that then would change the vibration without attributing the geographic value of the period of time. It will bite you. Now, there are examples that we soon, once you really get into your PhD, once you get there are ways we'll show you how to shift it. Let's say your past is something you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
We'll show you how to change that past. But you see where that goes. That's a whole different conversation. You're figuring out how to make time tell.
Yeah.
Well, once you get very precise from this vibration and you can start matriculating waves and vibrations, you can go back, change it to an outcome to meet your order.
Okay. Okay, so when I'm running my waves off of B4, A4, do I do the same process I did originally with AB to come up with a new value for A and then plot that on a newly pulled A5, B5 tangent? Or is there a different way? Okay, is there a better way to get to the A5, B5?
No, you cannot get to A5, B5. Until you are successful in B4, A4.
Okay, but what does the, you said the intersections in the peaks and troughs of my A
yes.
sine and cosine, when I run them backwards, that
yes.
that was useful for A5, B5?
Yes, it is.
Okay, explain.
From your perspective of X.
From my perspective of X, which I got from my B1, A1 and
yes.
brought over to my B4, A4.
Yes.
Okay. So explain the relationship between my new X and the chord.
You're applying a vibration, changing of a past or verifying a past that moves it from a new A5, B5 position, which could have a significant shift on your original A2 value. You're taking a future to prove a pluperfect past. I say that again. You're using a future value to validate a pluperfect value of past.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that's a mouthful, but once you play with that a little bit and you re-listen to this, you're going to go, holy fuck, yeah, that's right. That would, if we know the future. And the future we know is here. And we know the past, and that checks out with what past says. Because of that new future value, you can matriculate the A5, B5 position.
Okay.
The same way you could understand a pentad different if you knew a future value to draw a pentad from. Yes?
Right.
Well, that applies here too. You knew we were going to get to the chart, didn't you?
Yeah. Okay. So, working. I want to know how to get from B4 A4 to A5 B5. So far, I have a new X, which I brought over from B1 A1. I've got my pairs of waves, and then I'm going to do the same operation and plot on A5, B5. Is that correct? Plot a new A5 value?
You're a little bit ahead of yourself. Ask it again, because we got a little. There's a little cleanup there. Ask it again.
Okay. The operation is the operation for running waves off of B4, A4, and then plotting a new value on the next tangent. The same process as doing it from the original AB.
Yes, as long as you do exactly the same thing to each tiered layer, as you already know, and exactly give credence to any shift in the X.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, then yes, it would be precisely the same.
When you say give credence to any shift in X, you mean when
if
X goes...
moves, make sure you gauge and pull your right triangles from the new X. Those values, those angle values would change. That's the only thing that would change your angles, isn't it?
Yeah, because that's the new horizon, right?
And the new horizon is what you're basing the B4, A4 to the A5, B5.
Okay.
You're gauging that even though it's in a past, you shifted it because it's a new future. That's why we say the past, present, future is only now. Well, that's right. But if they move the horizon for where now is, it will affect where the horizon began.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. So if I run the same operation consistently and do it from B4 to A4, taking into consideration a shift in X if there was one, that'll give me a new A divided by B value.
Yes.
And then I plot that above the X on the new A5, B5 tangent.
You would. And then if you did that a bit, you're talking about intraday trading. We know where you're going with this, baby. It's all right. Ain't nobody hurt. You'll know within that pinpoint accuracy by the minute where the trades are going.
Yeah.
We get it, and that's exactly right. But now, you get your first science perfect before you start jumping off a bridge. You see, just because you can jump up doesn't mean you've defied gravity. Get real good at defying gravity, and then you can maintain your position off the ground.
Right, but right now, when I go away from this reading to work with, the reason why I wanted to cover everything from the beginning to the A5, B5, was so I have a trajectory to run on.
Yeah, you did perfect, yes, and it's great. And there's even a little bit more that you'll get to. Because then you'll start running, then you'll figure out quickly how to do longs and shorts within a margin within a trade, because you're going to find that your B4, A4 is going to affect your new A2. And then you'll be able to make intraday trades, shorts from your A5, B5.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See, that'll hit you a little later. Because you'll know your order from your B4, A4, how it will affect your original A2.
Right. So basically I'm learning not only how to make time tell, but also to know how my interaction will affect that vibration.
Yes. And that shift in that vibration, once it's known, you have how some people don't tell the future, they make their future.
Yeah.
This is how they do it.
Right.
And it's because of the play with the chip body, of our interaction with the chip body, that's made it available. And that's why you were number one in the beginning, and we knew that. We told Bob that. Bob's known that all along. Regardless of where you went and what you did and how you twirled and what was it, you're still, we didn't call you number one by mistake.
Yeah.
And so far, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Others may as well, but then they wouldn't be one, would they?
Right.
Good.
Okay. So I'm not getting, though, I'm repeating the process on B4, A4,
yes.
And plotting on A5, B5, but
yes.
I now have this other thing you told me about running the cord through the intersections of the A sine and cosine. Now, where does that connect?
Well, you look at the perspective of where the mystery landscape has shifted to. You would juxtapose your original X and your new X and see where that difference is. And that gives you the gradient of That's why we don't like radians. We like degrees, because the degrees will tell you exactly where the landscape has shifted to.
Okay, but it's telling me where it's shifted to over what time period? My arbitrary...
Depends on which tangents you're pulling to and from. See, if you had 15 tangents on a thing and your X had changed, you could see at 15 different intervals where that interaction had an outcome. Because what you're going to find is you pull these multiple tangents, the more accurate you're going to be within the precise pinpointing of a triangulated position. The same way your GPS says go 100 feet, turn right. Go 15 feet, turn left. Go 2.3 miles straight. Turn, you see, it gives you blow by blow by blow. That's what your multi-tangents do.
So more tangents, the more accuracy.
From your place today, yes. From your place today, yes. And when you master that, then we'll show you how to skip tangents. Let's say there's a tangent that doesn't serve you. We'll show you how to skip it. But we're not doing that today, because you'll just get lost in the translation.
Right.
You see. So you're getting it as you ask. But when you get this part down, then we can basically get a rhombic dodecahedron out of any triangulated outcome.
Okay.
And then you'll change vibration.
All right. You told me in one of my readings that the chip body's already doing this for you.
Yes.
It's already doing it for me, and I'm just not noticing it.
You just haven't pulled your B4A4 tangent yet. And when you do, you realize it is.
Okay.
It actually already is. See, the answer, we've already given you the answer. Now, what's the question?
Yeah.
See? It's like that. But then when you catch that question, you already know the answer. It's the difference between knowing and pontificating, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
See? Good. And yes, blithering idiots can just guess and do pretty good. They call it their sixth sense or their protracted knowing or woo-woo something, something, something. That's fine. That's wonderful. But when you have the application to validate your position from a vibrational stance, then you have a different they're having a different conversation.
Right. Are we ever going to get to the point where we're doing this on a polar grid, the circular polar grid rather than the Cartesian?
That's why we were trying to get you to the chords. And you did. So that was the point. Because when you start adding dimension to degrees,
mm-hmm.
then it most absolutely certainly does it not? It does that by rote.
When you add dimension to degrees, you mean bring it to three-dimensional?
Yeah, well, more than that.
More than that, and four, and et cetera. Right, okay.
And if you get if you figure out 14 degrees of freedom, that's an even better conversation.
Yeah, well, that would be, wouldn't that be on each one of these tangents that they would have perpendicular tangent, and then another one?
Capacitation. That's allowing every vibration that is inclusive of the period frame that you are pulling as a polar abstract.
But why isn't that? Why don't you call that 360 degrees of freedom rather than 14?
Because they're not 360 degrees of freedom.
Is it the importance of the angles when you've got a circle
Absolutely.
Divided into 14?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because without angles, you wouldn't even have numbers to calculate the calculating by.
Mm-hmm.
See? Without the angles, you couldn't plot your values of your pairs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And don't use that as a curse. Use that as a blessing. It's a known. So some of it's a false premise, but it's okay as long as it's plottable.
So, So if I was looking at this on a polar grid instead of a Cartesian x and y grid, and I was looking down and I saw the tangents that I had plotted, and if we did 14 degrees of freedom, wouldn't each one of those tangents have like 14 lines through them? So like there'd be the up and down, the left and right, and then everything between them.
Yes.
So it'd be like a star with 14 points.
Then you could use a triangulated position to justify another outcome. Then if there were a tsunami warning in one place in the world, you'd be able to tell exactly what the outcome would be in another place in the world.
Oh, because that polar would be like looking at the world.
Exactly. And so it's not linear. It is what you call global.
Yeah.
And see, the problem with the global positioning system now is you're banking on a satellite striking a point, making a triangulation position on a chord.
So this is physically actually like satellite triangulation.
Better than. This one's accurate.
But this is a completely merged position of the satellite model is the model we're working with.
It is, and you'll perfect it, because in your perfection, if you notice, the satellites have a tendency to be off a bit. Even the clocks, sometimes the pea pods get off by a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the earthquake in Japan actually made that day shorter by a couple of milliseconds.
Mm.
The world turned a different direction for a bit.
Okay, so this would give me an accurate...
An exactly accurate
time as a false premise meter.
Well, let's call it a time continuum. Let's call it a time continuum, because that's what you're judging your eternity by, isn't it?
Yeah, but if we're looking at a polar grid, it would be like we're at the North Pole, above the North Pole, looking straight down, correct?
Potentially.
Or would it be that I'm looking through the whole sphere?
That's why we said potentially. It depends on, you know, you could be at the Tropic of Cancer and give a perspective.
Oh, okay, so if I did it on a polar grid, I would be setting my perspective to say, okay, I'm either at the North Pole or I'm at the Tropic of Cancer.
Or wherever you are. That's right. And that's why we said from Itch that everything significant on the planet that's taking place will happen on the northern 33rd degree of your longitude.
Yeah. Because that's the perspective. Is that the main perspective where these triangulations are being run by human creators?
You'll see.
The third?
You'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, you're getting into Dobbstown now, so you got to be careful.
Okay, so when I'm running my flat plane triangulation on my Cartesian grid here, would it serve me well right now to just kind of get through it, not make too big of a deal about each particular step, knowing that I'm moving towards the polar, or just leave the polar alone for now?
Nope. Line upon line, precept upon precept. You got to get it step by step by step. You couldn't get us if you hadn't fucked with Ellie as long as you did.
Oh, really? So that actually had benefit.
It certainly did. It got you to a position for now.
Yeah.
And that was not a waste. It was not for naught. It was important to get you to the place to do this here, right here, right now. But when you pull your B4A4 on that perspective, you'll know that, you see. Otherwise,
okay.
It wouldn't. Your A5, B5 wouldn't work without that interaction with Ellie.
Okay, that doesn't mean anything to me now.
Well, it can. Now, we're not trying to make things to validate things, but you're asking about how far this can go, and that's why we're being inclusive of perspective.
Okay, does each one of these tangents, because right now I'm looking at five tangents. I got AB, B1A1, A2B2, B4A4, and A5B5. Would each one of those tangents represent a different aspect of the pentad?
Octad.
Of the octad, okay.
By Bob's almost getting that. When he gets it, he'll tell you about it.
Okay.
Octet is purer.
I see. Okay.
Because you turn it on its side and you get infinity. If you can, what's included in infinity? Everything.
Well, yeah. It'd be like the wire
Hawking,
whisks?
It's, yes, it's where Hawking's dropped the bone.
Mm-hmm.
Where Hawking dropped the bone?
Dude.
And you, is that why he rejected his earlier work? He realized that,
well,
or he doesn't know why?
He rejected his earlier work.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He rejected his earlier work. That's because he realized this, or he doesn't
well,
know.
He, hasn't, he doesn't work. Know this. He's searching this.
Okay. So, Chad,
so
we've
maybe,
gone an hour and
maybe,
15 minutes.
Maybe soon Chad can throw him a bone. Give a new meaning to what string theory actually is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we string him along. String him up.
Yeah.
Therefore, anything else we got left hanging, number one?
No, we got them all.
Therefore, we are totally, happily, deliciously Nikolai Tchaikovsky.